Have you ever dreamed of a place down the coast, or indeed, if not a sea change, a tree change, a holiday home? If you're in a situation where you're retired or you've got friends who might be retiring and you might be interested for them, looking at that situation and thinking they've come into some cash, they've come into a payout, or they've come into inheritance, basically they've got the cabbage to be able to think about getting a holiday home, and some people dive right in. Well, let's think about the pros and cons of that with a chap by the name of Rick Nieuwenhoven, who is the director and CEO of a company that he runs called New Vision. Rick, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. How are you, mate?
Very good indeed. Just wanted to talk because I've met a few people in this category who are saying they can now pursue the dream. If they don't become a grey nomad and buy some ridiculously oversized vehicle that they then virtually live in for about 5 or 6 years before it all gets too much for them, they sometimes go down the path of moving those funds into a holiday home. Let's talk about that. Apparently it's not always fun and games.
Not necessarily, no. I think it's a good dream to have. We fall in love with a particular location, and we have this dream that we either want to semi-retire there or retire there, or just take the kids there. And then what happens is the novelty wears off very quickly with that location in relation to going there frequently enough to justify the expense in relation to the property. And there's two ways you can look at it. If you've cashed up and you buy the property in cash, well, then you've got to assess, are you getting the rate of return for the property in relation to capital growth or income yield? Or if you use debt, could you have used that debt with another investment more wisely?
Because you look at a holiday home, and of course, straight away you've got commitments. And as I understand the tax laws, the situation is if you're looking to get an income growth out of it in periods where you're not down and using the property yourself, it's a case of saying if it's available for rental, would that be right? That to use the terminology, if they've got agents, commission fees, and the like, you're actively seeking tenants, then ongoing expenses as opposed to a capital expense become deductible.
That's exactly right. So if you have it available for rent, the tax office will allow for the deductions, but it has to be legitimately available for rent. And so in my experience, what I've seen is people, as you know, in italic brackets, saying it's available for rent, but it's not. And the ATO can be quite rigorous with their validation of that availability for rent, looking for how you're advertising for it, when are you advertising for it in those particular periods. And if you're not doing it suitably enough or aggressively enough, the ATO won't allow you to claim the deductions for those periods.
Alrighty, so there's a bit of a warning straight off the bat. Now, you talked about capital growth, and this can be a vexed question. I've heard about two-speed or three-speed markets, and in terms of people buying properties in what appear to be, or what indeed may well be, popular areas for holiday homes, and I suppose we think of the coast in particular around Australia, capital growth, is it patchy or is it fairly strong?
Well, again, it becomes a real issue of the market that you're looking at. So some markets are very, very strong. So if we go up to sort of Queensland, like Coolangatta, Tweed Heads, that's a very, very popular market because there's a lot of demand with retirees. Then if we look at a place like the York Peninsula here in South Australia, which is also a very popular holiday destination, the capital gains there have been quite benign to the point where banks are actually limiting their exposure, which means now trying to sell those properties in those markets is going to be very difficult. Therefore, it can be a really risky game to the amateur investor if they're really trying to target a particular market without doing their research, and especially if they've got an emotional interest in that area as well.
All right. Now, what's the best advice if someone's coming in cold like that? They've heard everything you've had to say this morning, Rick, and then say, maybe I'm cooling down about these thoughts. What's the plan of attack that people should adopt if they want to pursue this?
Look, I think it's threefold. Really do your research on the market. So I'd talk to some locals in that market, find out what's going on, how many industries are in that market and what is the demand for that market, even talk to real estate agents. I'd also talk to a trusted financial planner or advisor and make sure you're really getting best bang for buck with your money, because at the end of the day, it's about getting rid of the emotion with investments and just looking at the best returns for you and your retirement. And certainly, if you're not really over the top with your information with rental properties, I'd go and get a consult with a tax advisor as well, because the biggest problem I see is people will buy first and then ask questions later. And really what we should be doing is asking questions first, spend that little bit of money and make sure we're making the right decision before we do it.
All right, so I suppose that the carry-on question then is, how do they get value from their investment property in terms of ongoing income receipt, and then trying to work out the right time to bail out if you want to do that?
In relation to holiday homes?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess the best way to do it is to treat it really like an investment, and that is to actually have it on the market 24/7, 52 weeks of the year, and try and get the best return out of the money. Don't sort of be hodgepodge with your strategy and go, okay, we'll rent it out half the time and then we'll live in it half the time or use it half the time. You either invest in a market because you believe in it and therefore you treat it as a pure investment, or you don't invest in it at all and you just go and rent every now and again when you want to go stay there. Because the facts of the matter are, most of us are busy people and we like the idea of living in these holiday homes for whatever period of time, but then life gets in the way and we don't actually stay there anyway.
Indeed we are. Now, Rick, you're Director and CEO of New Vision, and I'd like to thank you for your time this morning. And I guess if people were to dial up, now, have I got the spelling right? N-E-I-U Vision?
Very close. N-I-E-U.
N-I-E-U. Sorry,
yeah,
I beg your pardon.
Spelling is my surname.
I beg your pardon. N-I-E-U Vision. If you search engine that, as they say in the classics, you'll get some information about your particular organisation, and you may get some help. And there, it's interesting to hear the contrast between desirable areas, and that both desirable areas in the Gold Coast being really hot, and the area in South Australia perhaps not. What was the area again in South Australia where you are at?
So what I was using down there was an area called the York Peninsula.
That was
hot in 2007 before the GFC, and prices were just going through the roof. And then with the GFC, it's interesting. It's just the banks don't want to lend there now. They're postcode zoning it. So what banks are doing is they actually zone postcodes. So for example, in the Sydney market with all the investor talk, ING came out, for example, and postcode rated some suburbs and said, we're not going to lend more than 80% in this suburb.
Wow.
Because they think it's overpriced. And this is where the dynamics in the banking industry is really changing, because all the prices with the banks are now different. So ANZ, for example, yesterday lifted their interest rates just for their investor loan products.
Was it St George or Westpac, the parent bank, that did the same for both for homeowners, for owner occupiers as well as investors the week before?
So, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
and so for a potential investor or even a homeowner, it can be a really risky game if you just are dealing with one financial institution and you're loyal to that financial institution, because not all banks are following the same cycle now. So if you're loyal, let's say, with ANZ, who's just put their interest rates up, you may be missing out on opportunities with other banks which might not have taken on the same policy as what ANZ has done.
Probably open up a can of worms as we say goodbye here, Rick, but I suspect that the interest rates starting to creep up independent of action by the Reserve Bank suggests that the bank's margins are starting to tighten a wee bit with the drop in economic activity. But there we go. Rick, thanks again for your time. Hope all goes well, and I hope we can speak once again as the market, as it invariably will, change over time.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Rick Nieuwenhoven, who is the Director and CEO of New Vision. That's N-I-E-U Vision. Just have a look at that on your computers and you will get some good information.